Numbers 20. Sorry, Joshua 20. Joshua 20. So let's start to the shorter one. So I'm trying to get out of Joshua 20. Says, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I speak unto you by the hand of Moses. It's referring to the Exodus, the one in Numbers. We'll go to it later. He said, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So, it's speaking about a place of, you know, setting of contention. You know, anybody that gets born again becomes an enemy of the devil. The devil comes after you. And you must have a place you go to have protection, and that is the church. That is the principle. So the devil is the avenger of blood, and each one of us, you know, are people that the devil is after. The devil is after you, it's after me. So the place of safety is this setting, you know, a city of refuge. Verse 4, and when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city. He shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. So it's setting a principle that in the city of refuge, you have those who dwell there. Then you have elders in that city. So if somebody is coming, he declares his cause. That's when somebody comes into the fellowship, somebody, you know, comes and becomes regular in the fellowship, you need to know where he's coming from. Because something is pursuing him. He's bringing a cause. There is something he's coming with. Now, if he comes into the fellowship and everybody covers it, there will be oppressions. You know, and you don't really know what the person is bringing. And sometimes the fellowship comes under attack because of that individual that have come. So particularly if a new fellowship starts, everybody is bringing, is running and coming with their. You know, some people have problems in the marriage, at school, at work, family, you know, things. You know, like you are talking about, you see, the Goma is a center of poison in Congo. So people that have their poison matters, they bring it into. So the fellowship becomes, is under contention of, you know, people who are troubled. You understand? And when a man is troubled, he will be fighting. He will fight himself, he will fight his brother, fight everybody. So you see that the whole place becomes filled with contentions and nobody knows what is going on. I don't know if you get it. So the basis of gathering together, you know, is that there must be a putting on the table, you know, what is the issue, you know. In bigger fellowships, when a fellowship becomes more established, you see that God deals with people, you know, and then we know ourselves. We know, as you look, you know where everybody is coming from. You know what each person is contending with. And that way, we can address, we can pray for ourselves, we can have true fellowship. Because nobody is hiding anything. You understand? And that is true fellowship, you know. And that's why if you, maybe we'll look at it before the week runs out. We'll talk about, you know, the Bible says that when you meet that, there are feasts of the Lord, that's, sorry, there are offerings that you bring. Because in that city, it is, in fact, that, those cities are cities of the priests. These cities of refuge are cities where the priests dwell. You understand? Not just our city of refuge, but it was priests. And there were offerings that were, and one of those offerings, what they call, is the meal offering, fellowship offering. And one of the rules of fellowship offering is that it must not be brought with honey. And it must not be brought with salt. There's another thing he's talking about. And now honey means
artificial sweetness.
Yes, it's a fake coating. You know, everybody comes to fellowship, you're smiling, I'm happy. Hello, brother, how are you? Like we're saying. And you look at the principle of what we were looking at yesterday. You have the heart, the inward man is there. But you have the body. The expression of the body and the expression of the inward man, there are two different things. So I come to you, I say, hello, brother, fine, God bless you. But inside my heart, what am I saying? You understand? And that is why the principle of the city of refuge must work. That is, the honey must be taken away. That is, I come to you as I am. You understand? If I say, brother, God bless you, it's coming from my heart. You understand? That is the principle of city of refuge. That is, there is no honey, there is no cooking, there is no, you know. And if you read down, it says, and when he that doth flee unto one of those, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. In other words, there must be a leadership. You understand? Somebody must be there to hear it. Somebody must, and of course, the leaders must have discernment to hear it, discern. Sometimes, if somebody comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I want to serve you, he said, Jesus doesn't answer him according to what he has said. He answers him according to his heart. So somebody comes to you, he's telling you all the stories, I did this, but there is a motive which he will not bring. You know, usually we will paint the general person, somebody did this, they did this. The issue is, what is in your heart? What, you know, what have you brought? So there must be a place of discernment where the elders are, can hear the story and they can discern. In other words, there must be a leadership also in the city of refuge. If there is no leadership, even when people have a matter, there is nobody to hear it. There is nobody to have discernment, you know, and all that. So that's the other aspect of it. He said, they shall take him unto them and do what? Give him a place that he may dwell among them. In other words, in a fellowship, it's different from a Pentecostal setting where you just come in, you come and go. You know, nobody knows you. You don't know anybody. You know, you're not. He has no commitment. You understand? But in the city of refuge, everybody has his place. You have your role. You have your responsibility. You know. So if you're not there, it shows because there'll be a gap. You understand? So the city of refuge speaks of a place of responsibility. Everybody has a place, has something to give, has something to contribute in a city of refuge. And like he's saying, the principle of the city of refuge is what is going to deliver the city. Because in the city of refuge, it is strong. There's unity. Everybody is bound. And everybody is for the other person. Nobody is on it because, you know, your matter is on the table. They pray for you, bring deliverance to you. And you become you also stand. And you're able to minister deliverance to others who also have. So, you know, it's a body thing. It's the function of the body. And under that kind of setting, you know, we will see it. That the avenger of blood, the devil, cannot come in. You understand? So it's not just us individually, like he said, at the three levels, or at the level of just the fellowship. There is the wider application of the locality, the area. You understand? The country. And you are seeing the things that are happening. Of course, you know, the solution is not coming from Kinshasa. It's not coming from it. It's either the church stands, or it's all going to break apart. So it is that my livelihood depends on the functioning of the city. If the city is not functioning, forget it. If the house of God is not standing as it should, then, you know, it is going to be disaster for everybody. You understand? This American election, the only difference was that the church, for the first time, there was one thing they were agreed on. They went to God and they started praying. They asked for God's mercy, God's intervention, and God intervened. The American press did not know where it was coming from. They had written up the election. The predictors, posters, all the experts, computer, everything. The church stood and they said, God, you must give us back our country. And God did it. It was the prayer. You understand? In our own election, we were divided. One part was one side, one part was the other. And of course, it was clear what happened because the church was not united.
You know, tribal,
then there was a tribal issue. Some
from the north,
yes,
the northern Christians supported a northerner because he was a northerner, even though he was a Muslim.
A Muslim, uh-huh.
But they were much more functioning on that tribal level,
yes,
and could not discern the
what was happening. Uh-huh. You know, and this, and then the other brethren were also, you know, so they were saying, so if the devil plays on that sentiment, it's over. And that is why the city of refuge, there is a declaration of the matter. That is, we're able to look at, bring issues from the level of the heart. Nothing is hiding. You know, we knew we were divided because we were brethren. We just couldn't get it through. It was clear. You understand? And where you are now, there has to be that joining of heart. That the city of refuge must be. And it appears that Goma is like the center. If the trouble is going to come, it's coming from here. You understand? So if the deliverance will also come, it will come from here. So the church in Goma must be together. You know, you must deal with the issues and take a common stand. Like I said, at those three levels, we have to deal with it. Now look at verse 5. Say, and the avenger of blood, and if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not what? Deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote the neighbor unwittingly, as he hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in the city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city, unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. So what he's saying is that when the man comes, of course, he will declare his cause. The brethren will look at it and will give a judgment. You understand? So if the judgment is that, brother, you know, we'll be able to say, look, look at the matter, and they determine that, look, and of course, if somebody is born again, if somebody confesses his sin, God forgives him. If God forgives him, the devil has no matter. You understand? So whatever you have done, and you have come into the church, and you are truly, you know, say, repented, there's a judgment. And he says that the high priest, who is Christ, do you understand? Now, there's a difference between a fellowship and a city of refuge. I don't want to be in a fellowship. I want to be in a city of refuge. A fellowship is a business center or a social club where you just come, drink, know yourself. You do competition for dress, do competition for whose house is bigger, do competition for my children are better dressed. My son went to America, the other one went to England. That is not a city of refuge. It is a fellow. It is a social club. Let's call it a spiritual club, where you come, you share prayer, but you pray for me, I pray for you, you go. That one is different from city of refuge. The high priest dwells in it. And if that is saying that as long as the high priest is in that city, the avenger of blood cannot come. In other words, it is the strength of the high priest that brings the protection. There's a covering. You want to be in a place where you have a spiritual covering. It's different from a gathering of people. And that's why you see all over the place, you see small people meet, they say fellowship, they don't understand. A city of refuge is established by the high priest. And how you know he's there? You know, it's like we were talking about the David, you know. I denied Iran and he went to say, you know, I am king. They came and asked David, what have you said about the matter? You understand? So David came and made the pronouncement and said, Solomon is the king. Immediately that pronouncement was made, and he said there was a tumult. This is also everybody. Everybody. Everybody that was with Elijah, don't want, they began to run away. You know, because God had established it. So if God brings the authority in the field and says that this is my city or refuge, any spirit that comes,
Psalm 48 say that they saw the place and they run away.
You understand? You understand? So we must understand what the city of refuge is, and we must give our life to make sure it's functional.
Let me read that scripture, just one or two verses there.
That is Psalm 48, right? Please, yes, do. No, go ahead.
Great is the Lord. Are we there? Mm-hmm. And greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the site of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. You know, that's a very, very important. It said, for lo, the kings were assembled. These kings are spiritual powers, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this environment. They came around, you know, maybe they are pursuing one person or the other, you know, and they passed by, said they were saw it and so they marveled. They were troubled and they hasted away. Fear took hold of them and pain as of a woman in travail. You know, it's quite, in fact, I had the button to look at the scripture. You know, when the Lord is set in a city and he is known there as a refuge, spirits are afraid. They come around and they see that the city is well fortified. They cannot touch anybody there. You know, and so that's why this issue of the city of refuge is very important. And it's fundamentally dependent on the interpersonal relationship, yes, of the body and the functioning of the eldership. These are the two things there. Because if you notice that the person who is brought in into the city, you know, first of all, he will declare his cause before the eldership. Do you understand what they call it now? The elders of the city. And then eventually he will stand before the congregation. In other words, the congregation also must, in their hearts, you understand, accept him.
Yes.
You know, you understand the point now? That judgment is very, very important. Because it has to be a judgment based on mercy. You understand the point? If the congregation accepts him, this is our brother, you know, you receive him as one of you and you treat him the way you want to be, you understand, treated, you know, because with the same measure you meet, you shall also be meted. So that judgment of the elders and the judgment of the congregation is very, very important. Because you can be in a place and in your heart, you know, everybody's judging one another, that kind of a thing, you know, and it undermines the whole principle of the city of refuge. Sorry, you know.
No.
Yes, you know. So I think that this is really fundamental. It's a foundation that God is talking about. The foundation. The foundation is that the city, you know, somewhere it is said that Jerusalem is built as a city that is compacted together. It is based on relationship, family to family, standing, you understand, together.
You see, the body neatly joined together. And every joint make it supply, you know, to the growth of the body, you understand?
You know, we're all coming from an environment of church. We're dog, eat dog.
Yes.
And the biggest dog, you know, when she was talking about the two baboons,
the big one and the small one. That was the biggest, the top dog.
The bigger one dominates
everybody.
The smaller one, you know, and all that. And you see, every nation takes the characteristic of the spirits that rule the land. You know, so definitely, you know, so this is something that we have to really look at and overcome here so that this church will stand.
Amen.
You know, so
So I just pray that as God is unfolding this thing, it's something that needs to be really put across to the brethren, you know, so that, look, this is what you are up against. And every nation must acknowledge who they are. You see, there's no being, you know, betting over the matter. You know, sometimes we all came from a point where you're sensitive about your country. If I stay here and people are talking about Nigeria, I just rise up. It's not true. Do you understand the point? There's that defensive nature. But when I began to realize, oh, I'm not a Nigerian. I'm from Zion. Zion has its own character traits. So I'm looking at, you know, I want to take on the nature of Zion. That's the city of God. He said, great is the Lord. It's not great in Goma per se. It's great in Zion. It is Zion that brings joy to Goma. You know, says it's the city of the great king and it's the joy of the whole earth. When Zion is established, then joy comes to Goma. If Zion is not established, oh, there'll be pain, there'll be sorrow in this land. You know, and I think God has been warning it. You know, I wanted to refer to that of the story of the other of Kenya. It was very painful. Because, you know, sometimes we had the brethren. You know, sometimes you come, you tell them, oh, God came, sent us to Kenya with a word. There are two ways to look at it. So why are you Nigerians, foreigners? Do you understand the point? From there you come to Kenya, you know, this, and we can be very natural. We're not realizing that we're dealing with something else. You know, the Bible says, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. When a word comes, God sends somebody and you reject it. Jerusalem was destroyed because God sent, do you understand the point? And they said, no. You know, and they were doing politics. Said, who are you to come? You know, if we allow the people to listen to this man, then we'll lose our own power, our influence in the city. So they organized the riot and said, we want the man dead. They said, what has he done? They said, nothing, he must die. So eventually, the man died. And after that, 40 years after, Jerusalem was destroyed. And see,
block for block.
If this thing starts up, all of you might end up refugees in Nigeria. You understand? You might end up in Rwanda. You might end up in Kampala. Because the whole place will scatter. Your jobs will stop. Your family life will stop. Your fellowship, of course, will stop. Everything stops. So, in Kenya, the bloodshed, you know, and you see, once there is bloodshed, the land is defiled. The healing process can be very, very, very difficult. You know, so all of these things, you know, it things to look at. Because Jesus saw Jerusalem, he wept because he saw the bloodshed. There was so much bloodshed in Jerusalem because the people did not know the day of their visitation. When the word that would deliver them was brought to them, they became political and they rejected it. You know, so it's very painful. You know, she will tell you a lot about it. You know, God brought the word to the church. She will tell you. Because we're coming, you know, every year you bring this word. Sometimes we are used to hearing preachers. That's part of the problem we have. And so we do not understand the essence of the word that is sent to a people. Everything God wants to do, he just sends a prophet. If the people respond well, fine. If they don't respond well, you know, other things begin to follow after it. You know, so I believe one thing here, that God wants to address certain aspects of the culture, do you understand, of Congo. And the first thing is that the people who are from this land must understand it. You must understand, look, this is my name. You know, when God wants to change your name, he has to ask you. It's not because he doesn't know your name. He knows your name, he knows you very well. But until you acknowledge that, look, this is my problem. You understand? This is who I am, this is the environment. You know, when he talks a lot, he'll tell a lot about Nigerians. He's now making it like, you understand? Why? We know the natural environment that we come from. We are conscious of it. We are conscious of the issues that make Nigerians, you know, wherever they go, people are, Nigerians are here. You know, we know why they say that. But we know that we are not Nigerians. But we've come to terms with, this is our natural environment. So the brethren that come from Congo must identify what are the spirits that are ruling this land. Who are they? God, show us their nature. Show us their character.
How do they manifest in me?
So when I see their character and I look at my life, I say, okay, this is the problem. This is the problem. Like the aspect of the dominant alpha male. You understand the point? The Congo man is very proud. You understand? It's the same. You know, and it's a problem. Why the problem is, when you have a fellowship, there are going to be contentions. Because each person probably wants to be the alpha male. It's a trait of the, you understand, the spiritual environment. And one of the things about this is that every man has to bring out his cause. You know, like you said, when you come, it has to ask, what's the problem? If you say there's no problem, ask you, why are you here then? I don't know if you understand it. And why is that avenger of blood running after you? You now try to say, the man is mad. He's not. There is a problem. The avenger doesn't follow after somebody just for nothing. Tell us your issue. So you have to open up. Say, look, I had a problem with my neighbor. I didn't have a problem with my neighbor. I was cutting knife. He was just nearby. And the knife just slipped out of my hand and fell on him and killed him. You understand the point? Now, when you open up, so there is blood. And so the avenger of blood is coming after me. And the city, the elders will look at it and say, okay, were you quarreling with the man before? He said, no, I was not. It was, you know, unplanned. It was not premeditated. Because that is the basis on which you come into the city of refuge. Good. You know, so when they look at it, say, okay, coming. The moment they say coming, you come in, they lock the gate. The first phase is over. At least you are within the city. The next aspect is now to deal with the congregation. And that aspect is dealing with your interpersonal relationship, how we see one another. You know, sometimes Bible says, don't think too much of your own think. You know, that we must learn how to dwell, you understand, with one another. These are the vital aspects. When we begin to do all that, we begin to build a strong city. There's no city that is strong on one pillar alone. You understand? It never works. But when our lives begin to blend, and it comes, there must be that opening up of our lives. You see, we have learned over the years to share ourselves. Naturally, everybody can be very, you understand, secretive.
Independent.
Yes, I'm independent. I want to show that I'm better than this one. You know, but when you begin to see the body, you find out that all aspects of the old man, God has nothing to do with it. It's something you have to drop. And the earlier I drop it, you understand, the more I can become built into the new city that, you know, God is building. When we were in Congo, not in
Kampala.
No. In Sierra Leone. Okay, I think even this is enough, Brother Mark. The old house and the new house. And these two houses, there was a bulldozer packed. There are two. One of the houses must go down.
I think that's the dream she was having this morning about comparing the Sierra Leone and here.
Sierra Leone and here. Yes, okay. There was a comparison.
I think you're going. I think that's what you will have to decide. Do you want a city of refuge or you want
church.
You want a spiritual club? It's very clear. You have to decide. What do you really want? And that's the old house and new house. The old house is the Pentecostal church. The old house. That's not fellowship. Because the whole thing there is every man for himself. The younger pastor is planning the day he will go and start his own. You understand? So every day, what he's doing, he's planning. In fact, he's working to get
some part of the church for himself.
He has his followers. You understand? The pastor is watching and also fighting him. Make sure he's bringing him down. He's not popular. You know, if he's going away, he will bring his own friend to come and be the pastor there. When he comes back, then or he will post him out. You know, if they check and that he's going to become very, very popular, they push him out. So, you know, the difference between City of Refuge and is the issue of the body, which is the body, that interpersonal link, the body thing, you know. So, sorry, I wanted to bring that answer.
To quote from you now. The point is,
go ahead.
You know, like, all those things is God unfolding his mind to a people who are required to commit themselves to what God is saying and what God is doing. Knowing that their commitment is what determines, you know, like Esther. Esther could say, the king has not invited me for the past 30 days. I've not seen my uncle. If I go there without invitation, I'm risking my life. So she stayed like this, even though she knew that there was a decree. Maybe because I'm in the palace, maybe nobody knows me, nobody knows I'm a Jew, this and that. But Mordecai was not going to pet around the matter. You see, it's an attitude. He said, look, don't take that, you understand, attitude. If you do not take a stand right now on this matter, then deliverance will arise from another quarter. But you and your house will be destroyed. He said, who knows? Perhaps it is for this particular crisis
that God put you where
you are. You see, and I want to say that to the brethren. I don't know. It's very significant that both of you are here this morning. These things don't happen by accident. It means that there are very critical and crucial roles that God wants both of you to play. Let me tell you why. You see, our educational background is not by chance or by accident. You understand the point? And God, when God made Paul a lawyer, it wasn't by chance. He didn't know, but he was going to be positioning for a role he would play in the time to come. You know, when God lifted him up and taught him at the feet of Gamaliel, it was because there was a purpose. You know, and I know that there is a purpose. You know, but for such callings, it requires levels of, dealings. You understand the point? Because this thing, I see that the brethren here have not grasped, you understand the point, what we are into. You know, and I see we're still living on a very natural, you understand, level, seeing things from a natural perspective, reacting to things from a natural perspective, allowing natural sentiments to dictate our lifestyle and all that. And so God must show us something. That's what Abraham saw, a city. The same city of refuge. Because there's only one city, the city of the living God, Mount Zion, which is God, you and I, being brought into a place where God wants us to be. So when we begin to understand that, we now tell ourselves, are we willing to pay the price? In an assembly, for assembly to grow, some people must become the foot mat. They understand the point. Some people must become the rock on which, you understand, people clean their feet and all that. It's a ministry. You know, in dining, life comes into the fellowship. You understand? Paul said, for their, he died outside the city for the people. You know, so some people take that role. You know, and it's not an easy role because you really have to die. But the law is that life comes out of death. But when you come to a place where everybody's alive, naturally, oh my God, it's not a city of refuge. It's a city of Babylon, confusion. Because you have issues. Every day there are issues. Either sometimes you cover the issues, nobody talks about it, but it's affecting everybody. Or then sometimes it breaks out and everybody's shouting, arguing, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, the spirits just take life from the church. You know, so there's a charge being laid before you, both of you today. You know, and not just before you, all of us. There is a responsibility that we are here. It's because God said, okay, you're also taking responsibility for Goma. So that's why we're here, trying to discharge that responsibility. Part of it is to bring the word. Part of it is to share the experiences that we have had, that have brought us. It's going through this process. It's not an easy process. We have been traveling on missions. Okay, it's not an easy process. You understand? To come, move testing environments. We have our own issues. You understand the point? We have persons, our personalities, which as we work together in the field, you know, things happen and you learn to, you understand, to keep dying. Because as we labor, the whole essence is the change in our personality. If we are not being changed, then this whole thing is not working. You know. Let me not over, flog this issue because it's morning, people have to go to work. But these are things you have to bear in mind. That this is very serious business with serious consequences. Praise God.
I think we can pray. Like you said, everybody is not here to hear
what is being said.